Well, welcome to the Duff and Quarters podcast brought to you by Tab Touch. Today, after round one, what worked for Freo, what didn't for West Coast? The Cunnington Punch, shut the roof at Marvel Stadium, please, and calling out racist trolls.
That was out of bounds!
I don't believe it! I see it, but I don't believe it!
Dennis, where are you? I need you right now!
What's your name?
You're quite brilliant.
Yeah, terrific.
Oh, that is... Oh, that's what it is. The stadium holds its breath.
It's Duff and Quarters.
Brought to you by Tab Touch.
Well, hello, everybody. It's Tuesday. It is time for the Duff and Quarters podcast. For the first time this year, we are reviewing a round of football. Quarters, this is the podcast when...
It's never as good as it seems... And it's never as bad as it seems.
Geez, it might have been better than it seemed for Fremantle on Sunday against North Melbourne, mate. 82-point winners.
I think it's quite pertinent, really, isn't it, when you look at the two WA AFL teams? I think Simo will be hoping it's not as bad as it seems. And I think Ross Lyon would probably turn around and use that quote this week. Because I think it's, you know, I think we've still got a way to go. I'm going to... Obviously, there's always shocks in round one. I had a shocker. I'm sure many tipsters out there did too. You had an okay round yourself with five.
Yeah, I scrambled out with five. I was pretty worried when Geelong beat Collingwood and then Port beat Melbourne and then Hawthorn rolled Adelaide, as they always do. Yeah. How did we not see that coming? And I think when we look at the team that West Coast took to Brisbane, and in fact we had this conversation on Friday afternoon in the office, didn't we, sitting around, we said, why aren't we tipping Brisbane in this game?
And well, I was always bullish about Brisbane, but I just didn't think they would quite take that step just yet. But it's a month. You always give it a month, the season, before you can really make some cast iron predictions, I reckon. But there was some really interesting and disappointing results at the weekend.
So best performance of the weekend was?
I think it was Freo.
Yep.
Return to the 2013-2015 pressure, but the way they move the ball, the confidence with which they move the ball. And, you know, you look at the clubs and you look at the 6-6-6 rule and you think, this: if Mundy and Fife and Darcy stay fit in the middle, and not to mention others, yeah, it could suit them. And we saw what happened with that really aggressive, offensive forward movement and no players behind the ball. And look what happened. Five goals to Cam McCarthy and it looked like a really open forward line.
So was we know that North Melbourne's been leaking like a sieve for over half a season now. It started in the back half of last year and it was the case all through the pre-season. Mm. And obviously they had no Scott Thompson. But was necessity the mother of invention for Freo? The fact that you couldn't put all these defensive mechanisms in place, so you were going to have to be able to score, and they just maximised their weapons in the middle, and they opened the game up, and they got the ball quickly to forwards, and that meant they played to Cam McCarthy's strengths, and he didn't let him down.
You know, that forward 50 pressure they applied, though, I've not seen a side more muddled than the Kangaroos were trying to get the ball out of that defence. Mm. They just could not find a way. And then they tried to handball, and they still couldn't get it through. It was a really, really polished four-quarter effort, or sort of three and three-quarter effort by Fremantle, I reckon.
Yeah, and I think... sometimes styles marry up and suit one particular team. I think the fact that the Kangaroos do try and dish the ball around, it kind of invites that pressure. And I think Fremantle, there was a strong feeling at Fremantle based on what Lee Montagna, their new opposition analyst, was telling them, that you know, if you get pressure on them, you can get turnovers because they will try and handball through your pressure. And that's what they did. It will be interesting to see how it marries up. You know, hopefully they can hold it all together against Gold Coast this week and then St Kilda in round three. West Coast, when they play them, will try and kick through that pressure.
Yeah.
And that's been more problematic for Fremantle trying to get pressure on them. So I'm going to be fascinated to see how that pans out, but I'm getting 3 weeks ahead of myself there.
Well, yeah, well, I think, as I said, about a month in, we'll know more. But the only, I guess if you're a North Melbourne supporter, I did see one of the great players of the future out there in Bailey Scott, and I think even with a performance like that, the stand-up was even more impressive. He was the rising star nomination for round one, and deservedly so. He's a ripper. Yeah, a few of the players. Polak looked okay, you know, but there was a, yeah, it was just a pretty dark day. I'll tell you, Duff, I ended up at a mate was running the North Melbourne Supporters Club function afterwards.
Well, so that would have been a cheery sort of a function.
Yeah, I only stayed for a beer and a half. I had to go and meet my other mate at the Camfield, who was a Fremantle supporter. After
that would have been a more cheery function at the Camfield, I'd imagine.
Had Barbara Streisand or something like that playing in the room, and I turned to my mate and I said, "Mate, you've got to put some other music on." I said, "This is shocking. This is appalling." But
I've got a new nickname for the Dockers.
Yep.
Given the plethora of AC/DC songs now they play in and around their match entertainment, mm-hmm. I think they should be called the Yakka Dockers.
That's very good. I like that. What did you think of our man on the roof?
I liked him.
Yeah.
I liked him.
Troy Nababan is his name, and he's going to appear before all Dockers home games.
Yeah.
Up on the roof. I don't think he's all that keen on heights, which is ironic, but he did it well. I think it's a really good pre-game addition by the Dockers. Well done.
Yeah, I think the one thing that the move to the new stadium has done is made our two clubs think about these things and how can we add to our overall product. I do, even though people didn't like the tunnel, the West Coast tunnel, I do like them coming out to Wolfmother.
Yeah.
I think that's, you know, that's a fantastic, it really gets their fans up and about. So I like that, and I think the guitar solo on the roof, I think, is pretty good.
We had a piece in my column the other week, and there's something on Today Tonight. There's a local Eagles, local band called The Net 2, and they're all middle-aged guys, and they produced a pretty good Eagles song too, which hopefully gets a run at some stage. Would still like to see a return to the banner too, the run-through for the Eagles, but a few things at the weekend, Duff. There's plenty happening, as there always is in round one.
Well, hang on. Before we do that, I've got to give you a bit of a clip.
Yep.
You had Essendon in your grand final.
Oh, yeah, that's worthy of a clip.
I've got them as my worst performance of the weekend.
They were the worst performance of the weekend, no doubt. I'm still going to stick with them. If you're going to have a shocker, you may as well have it in round one. You've got 22 rounds to go before the final. So, look, I still have great hopes for Essendon, but I tell you what, that was appalling. Devin Smith probably foolishly mentioned it as the graveyard before they went up there, and so it proved for Essendon. And that was a pathetic, insipid performance, and they have absolutely copped it in Melbourne this week, and deservedly so. I'd be shocked if they didn't come out this week with a much better performance. But it just, I know there's new defensive mechanisms Ben Rutten's trying to apply there, but there was no buy-in from anyone. It was almost as if the toes were up well before quarter time, and there was just no resistance at all. They're really worrying signs for John Worsfold.
So while we're on Essendon GWS, well done by GWS. We thought the new rules would suit them and that they would stay in. I think both of us had them in our top eight, and certainly
I had them just outside, actually.
Did you? I had them six. And we'll also say hello to one of their great supporters who's a regular listener of ours, Nick Thompson. And Nick sent me a message during the week, and he said he loves our podcast, and he wasn't very happy with something we said about GWS last week, which I can't remember, but obviously we've made some sort of flippant, dismissive remark about GWS. So, Nick, well done to your club. Well done to your team. Good crowd there, 15,000.
It would have been about the few supporters who go there to rally around them at the home games. I think we were mentioning the empty seats there.
We were only having a joke, but 15,000, if they can keep building that up to get it towards 20,000, then I think they'll be they'll certainly be a force to be reckoned with, and they'll find it a lot easier to hang on to players than they're finding it at the moment.
Yeah, Cornelio, probably three Brownlow votes, and Taranto not far behind him either. So get on Cornelio if you want a little fancy, a little flutter.
So this is the thing, Quarters, about GWS, is that we think about the outs. And, okay, so, Devin Smith went last year and Dylan Shields gone this year, but all their young players are getting better. So Taranto is now about to blossom as a player, and Jacob Hopper won't be far behind him. They've got all these kids. Himmelberg is another one. These guys are on the rise. So they'll be losing a few, but they're like everyone else, they're still drafting a few in, and they've got just so much talent there.
They have.
And I think they've been clever about getting role players in at the bottom end. So Matty DeBoer did a great job at the weekend on Zach Merritt. Zach Merritt's not the first time he's had trouble with taggers.
Yeah.
So that's a bit of an issue
for
him as
well. He's been good for them, Matty DeBoer, hasn't he? He really has been a good...
Well, he's a good citizen, isn't he? And a good man to have around your club.
My concern is still that There has been the talent has been diluted, and I take your point about the Hoppers of this world, and they have got a great youth coming up and starting to blossom. I just still worry if they're only an injury or two away from coming back to the pack, but we'll see. Clearly, they were one of the outstanding performers of round one.
Okay, let's get onto a couple of things that probably got under our skin, I reckon, about the weekend.
Well, you can clearly just go around punching people still.
What was that about?
What was it? $2,000 and a $1,500 fine in the end.
So in the dying minutes at Optus Stadium, Ben Cunnington has to reach and cross the path of Nathan Wilson off the ball, punches him in the guts. Wilson goes down like a sack of spuds, and Cunnington gets off with a fine. That's out of the play. It's clearly what the edict went out that they were going to stamp out, that was going to be a week.
Yep.
And he gets a fine.
So two things. One, they've missed a great opportunity. Round one, never a better opportunity to send a statement out. They've missed that opportunity. Two, clearly, we're heavily weighted now on the medical reports, because really you should be looking at the incident first and then... So that's a week, and then the medical reports come into play after that. Maybe you expand beyond that. But that was at least a week, and they just got it wrong.
So... One of the comments that Michael Christian made yesterday in explaining this was, unless a guy's got broken ribs or something. Well, when they keep punching them in the gut and then someone does break a rib and misses 4 weeks of footy, everyone's going to turn around to Michael Christian and say, had you suspended Ben Cunnington in round one, this guy wouldn't have broken ribs because the bloke that punched him wouldn't have dared to punch him.
Yeah, I'm confused because I thought that edict was out, that's what they were going to clamp down on now. Clearly they haven't. I don't get it.
Yeah, no, that was just Marvel Stadium, the playing surface.
Yeah, look, the most interesting comment made on that was, and we saw Gold Coast play St Kilda there, now, Ainsworth's missing 6 weeks, but that wasn't a result of the surface. I think that was someone smothering the ball.
No, that was impact. Yeah, fell on his leg, yeah.
And Swallow, but I believe Swallow's was. But there was a lot of shifting surface there. And Goddard's comments were really interesting yesterday. And they were that he always, and he played a lot there as St Kilda, but then not so much as an Essendon player. And he really noticed it when he'd go back there less frequently as an Essendon player. He'd really noticed that it took him much longer to recover. And just that the shifting surface, you're always wary of it. And it meant that your muscles were working overtime. So I guess the question you need to ask is, it's an AFL stadium, why was it in that condition for round one? If it's ever going to be in pristine nick, it's round one.
Yeah, you got it. And we are now 20 seasons in at that stadium. They should have gotten it right by now. Well, they should have come up with a formula to grow grass that was acceptable for AFL use by now.
Now, my other number one most annoying thing watching games at Marvel Stadium is... Can you shut the roof, please? It's when the ball...
Oh, do they have a roof?
Oh, yeah. The ball disappears into the shadow, and it's like, well, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens when it comes out the other end, because I can't follow it right now.
This is... you know what? I mean, we're at 7 West Media, obviously, and Channel 7 owns the broadcast rights to... a fair chunk of the broadcast rights. Yeah, it's time for 7 and Fox to jump up and down and just say to the AFL, you will close the roof.
Just close the roof. You've got
because
a roof, yeah.
I don't think anyone's going to not go to the footy as a spectator because the roof is closed and not open. And people are going to turn off their TV sets if they can't see the players. And not only that, how many times do you see the players shielding their eyes from the glare? Because with that... the roof configuration like it is, the light is concentrated. So the one design feature that Marvel Stadium or Colonial Stadium or Telstra Stadium or Etihad Stadium, whichever one of the guises you want to call it, the one design feature it had was a roof. Now, the roof is either a big plus in terms of keeping the weather out, or it's a big minus in terms of the players can barely see and people watching on TV can't see at all. So what do you want to turn it into? Do you want it to be a plus or do you want it to be a minus?
I think there was a comment made that it was because it needed more sunlight. Well, it's been a fair bit of sunlight over the preceding months.
And that is, to that we cry...
That's a nonsense
bull
comment.
Dust with a capital B and a capital D. Sorry, a capital B and a capital S-H-I-T. Because they now have these light machines. And they use them at the MCG and they use them at Docklands as well.
But the point is...
And they go around the boundary where in the places that don't get much light and they actually shine the light on them. And what's more... Open the bloody thing all during the week. Just when you're having a game,
shut it for a game. Look, the other two things out of the weekend, obviously there's a bit of sadness. Three ACLs, which is disappointing. Three significant ACLs. Vickers Wills for North Melbourne, really sad to see. Very talented young defender.
He's got a lot of injuries too.
And he's had a lot of injuries. Doudé at Adelaide, I think he'll be a significant out for them for the year. And, of course, Rance at Richmond. I'm still sticking with Richmond as my pre-season premiership pick, but I reckon if you could look, it's probably Rance and Martin are the two you don't want to lose. And he's probably at the head of the queue, actually, Rance, given the way they play, given the way he marshals that defence. He is the defence, really. I mean, that's no slight on great players like Grimes, etc., but he is the defence. And it'd be really interesting to see how they respond from that. I'm going to back system over individuals. I still think they're going to be right up there at the pointy end.
So when they play Sydney and when they play West Coast, who takes... Franklin, Josh Kennedy.
Exactly.
It's got to be Asprey, doesn't it?
Yeah, Asprey. Yeah. Look, that's the big question mark. And again, I think system can still... but, you know, as we found out at the weekend, this new 666 rule can leave you a bit isolated. I think Jeremy McGovern found that out a bit at the weekend. It's going to be interesting to see how it affects him.
So let's get on to West Coast.
Yep.
Reigning premiers. They go to Brisbane. They kick two goals after quarter time and they concede 14. Now, I think with the benefit of hindsight, we didn't give Brisbane enough credit going into this game and we didn't take enough notice of the fact that West Coast had a very young forward line. Their forward line was basically second, third and fourth year players. But minus 29 in contested ball, minus 60 in uncontested ball. So they've been done at the coalface. And they've been done on the spread, particularly after quarter time.
They've been done everywhere. And look, Brisbane, I'm really bullish, have been, still am very bullish on Brisbane. And they're, if not make the eight, they'll be knocking on the door. But I didn't see that round one performance, not as emphatic as that. And I think I turned to one of my colleagues at quarter time and thought this is going to be a bit dodgy, this game. But, gee, they turned it around quickly. And, you know, there's some, we talk about, you know, the Rainers of this world, but you forget the McCluggages. I think he got 10 votes in the coaches' award, votes.
So yeah, I had him second. I would have put him second behind Neil, but they didn't rate Neil that highly, did they, the coaches?
No, well, I'll give you the votes. I've got them here. 10 to McCluggage, 4 to Charlie Cameron, 4 to Lincoln McCarthy, which I agree with, and 4 to Zorko, 3 to Harris Andrews, 3 to Daniel Rich, and 2 to Lachie Neil. No Eagles in there.
Harris Andrews, this is a tip quarters and a prediction.
Yep.
I'm putting on my Nostradamus cap here. Harris Andrews and Alex Pearce will become two of the absolute great power defenders of the AFL competition.
Well, Andrews, Pearce, Sicily, I think, already in the reckoning.
He's slightly
for
different.
All Australian.
He's sort of intercept, sort of. The other two will be post-up defenders.
Look,
Sicily's a magnificent player.
I think all three of them, you can take it as read right now, will be right up in the mix for All Australian in that All Australian defence at the end of the year.
If they stay fit.
Of course, exactly. That's always the caveat. But,
so...
What do you take out of Brisbane? What do you take out of it? I said this about Essendon. That's the performance. You're going to have that performance. Have it in round one. Get it out of the way. They've got Josh Kennedy coming back this week. I'm not sure what's going on with Willie Rioli, how bad his foot is, whether he's a 50-50 chance or he's not going to play this week.
A stress reaction in the foot is not good because you've got to make a big call on that. You either sort of say, well, it's going to settle down in 1 to 2 weeks and he can get through the season. Or you're thinking, well, do we get to round six and he has a stress fracture and then he misses a massive chunk of the season? I would be surprised if Willie Rioli is out there this week when they play GWS.
Yeah, well, I don't think he will be. It's a shame. He had a really good pre-season. He was looking $1 million. So let's hope that he can get back sooner rather than later.
And another foot injury. Glenn, which is
true.
They've
half good six, seven of them now.
It's a big concern. And you know, as well as playing at Optus Stadium, incidentally, I walked on Optus Stadium on Friday in there was a couple of press conferences out there that the Dockers were holding. They have softened it. They've worked hard to soften it. I think it can still get better, but they've clearly put a lot of work into getting a bit of shift in the dirt and a bit of give under the feet.
Because there was nothing last year. I remember playing a game of touch rugby on it at the start of last year.
Oh, yeah.
I feared for the AFL players who are coming down from a much greater height. Yep. I thought there's going to be shoulders, all sorts going here, but that's good. That's good to hear that it's been softened up.
Yeah, no, I certainly noticed at the minute I put my foot down on it that it was a different surface to last year. So well done, guys. You're working on it and hopefully keep working on it. The worry for West Coast now, Quarters, before we move on to a couple of the other games, is the draw over the next fortnight is tough. So GWS looked really good against Essendon.
They did. It is at home, thankfully. Oh, no, I'll be picking the Eagles this week.
Yeah, I'll be picking the Eagles. Josh Kennedy comes back. And then Collingwood at the MCG after that. So this game, this week, becomes a massive game for West Coast because Collingwood at the MCG is going to be hard to win. I think Collingwood play Richmond on Thursday night.
Yeah.
So it could be that one of those teams, one of the grand finals from last year, who we all had in our top four, one of those teams could be staring down the barrel of a 0-3 start when they play.
So I thought Collingwood was a pretty good loser. I thought the bonus for them was Jamie Elliott back in that side and showed glimpses. It's ran out of steam, which you expected him to with his lack of match conditioning. But I thought they were probably the best of the losers, if you like. Apart from Gold Coast, who I will mention and we'll mention in a minute, because that was probably two things about that. It's probably the match of the round. But it was also clearly for me, there'll be the bottom two sides this year, St Kilda and Gold Coast, from what I saw at the weekend.
Okay, so you're Peter Wright. There's a minute and a half to go.
Well, you have a shot.
You're a point behind.
Have a shot. You've got to have a shot.
Yeah, the one thing I'll say about that is that he kicked it to the top of the square. In terms of, in the normal run of events, you know, take out the fact you're 1 point down with 90 seconds to go, it was the perfect square up kick. And there was a Gold Coast player.
He should have marked it.
Perched on someone's head, got two hands to it.
He did everything but mark it,
and dropped the bloody mark. Yeah. So really, it was the perfect play.
Yeah,
there was just spillage.
I would have still had a ping because you kick it behind, it scores a level, and you can set up behind the kick out. So but having said that, I thought it was I felt really sorry for Gold Coast. One of those games where a draw probably was the best result. But, you know, St Kilda found a way to win. It wasn't flash. And full credit to Jack Stevens too, because he was still throwing himself at the pill in the dying seconds. He probably got him over the line in the end. The other kid I liked was Matthew Parker.
Yeah.
He shows a bit. Jeez, he's a bit of a – he'll be a cult. He'll have a cult following before too long.
Yeah, and cult's the right word because he's – A – he's a bit cultish.
Oh, he's a bit different.
And B, he's a bit of a wild colt, C-O-L-T. He's like, he's an AFL athlete, clearly, isn't he? He's explosive and powerful.
Beautiful size. He's got the tats and he's got the pink boots. I think he's wearing pink boots.
And he's got some rough edges around his game. But he will be a person who will create X factor for St Kilda and problems for opposition defences.
Oh, I think so.
I reckon three players in that game deserve enormous credit, Quarters. You mentioned Jack Stephen. Ainsworth to stay out there after the knee.
And Swallow
in the last quarter very nearly willed his team over the line. That was a statement as a captain, I thought. Well done, David Swallow.
It was a really gutsy performance by those two. Great effort by Gold Coast. I just hope, because remember last year Gold Coast started, they were very competitive the first five or six games and they just fell into a hole. You know, I fear that's going to happen again this year because you just can't sustain it for that long with their list. But look, it was probably the match of the round out of it was the match of the round for me.
Yeah, I think that and I thought the Doggies-Swans game was a good game. Bontempelli, that's the old Bontempelli, isn't it? The 29 disposals, the surge run forward right at the end when they desperately needed a goal and he got on the end.
And
of the
they
chain
were very
possession.
Much like the team. We talk about Freo reverting to the sort of the team they were. I thought the Dogs really looked like the Dogs of old. It was good to see Liber out there. I think he was one of the major factors in the game, was
absolutely.
Tom Liberatore.
Yep.
He gives them so much. And he's also very much an on-field leader as well. So I think Sydney will be better. I'm still pretty bullish about Sydney. Wasn't their greatest performance. I think they had one goal to half time.
In your eight or out of your eight?
They're in my eight still. I still have faith in Sydney. Buddy will get better. He's obviously lacking conditioning. He will get better. He's coming off some surgery post-season. So, I'm sticking with the Swans.
Okay, now let's move on to the two Adelaide clubs quickly. Port Adelaide, absolutely stunning in victory over
they
Melbourne.
Were.
Kenny Hinkley didn't hold back.
Speed.
Speed kills.
Speed and disposal. Speed and hand passing. And also, the dual tactic, I guess, of speed and getting moving it on as quickly as possible. And also...
Belting hell out of Max Gorn.
Belting hell out of Max Gorn, which is clearly going to be a tactic most clubs will employ. It's just, why wouldn't you?
So if you're Melbourne, do you look at that and you say, well, we have to play Braden Pruce as well as...
Absolutely, 100%. Yes, you do.
Yep.
They have to. They have to do whatever they can to protect Gorn and get
him
into the game.
And apparently they've been smiling very smugly over in Melbourne in the last couple of weeks with Jesse Hogan's issues.
Yep.
But if Pruce plays and Gorn plays, where does that leave Wiedemann? And would they be looking west and thinking, Oh,
no, Wiedemann still gets a run. He's a real talent.
Is he a 40-goal-a-year forward yet?
I think he's 30-plus. 30-plus.
So Jesse Hogan's probably a 50-goal-a-year forward.
Wiedemann.
And you're trying to win a flag.
Yeah, I think don't underestimate Wiedemann.
And you've just been done on the spread because you couldn't run. So going taller is dangerous. I would argue that if Pruce is going to play, and he's a brute, they won't be pushing Max Gorn around if Braden Pruce is out there, I'll guarantee you, because he will throttle about three or four of the other team's little blokes and they'll stop the pushing and shoving of Max Gorn.
Well, good.
But if Pruce plays, I reckon there's a question to be asked. Is Wiedemann the right guy to have there as well, or should they have a more mobile forward, i.e. Jesse Hogan?
He kicked five or six in a final.
He kicked... three or four in a final,
yeah.
I reckon.
Yeah, I wouldn't underestimate Wiedemann. I think any list would take him.
Yeah, okay. Interesting. Let's watch that one unfold because I agree Wiedemann's a very good player, but he is not yet proven himself to be a 40-goal-a-year power forward, and Jesse Hogan has proven himself to be that.
Yep.
So, and a more mobile version of it as well. So I'll be interested to see how that unfolds. Did Melbourne take a few things for granted, do you think? Or did they just have underdone players?
I don't see how you can in round one. I think it was a combination of, I think they did have a few underdone players, Viney being a case in point. He'll get better. I don't think, I would be shocked if I thought they took a few things for granted heading into round one. Let's not discount Port's effort. It was a great effort round one. Ken Hinckley rated it the best performance under him, and that includes finals.
He doesn't keep a lid on it, Kenny, does he?
No, good on him, though.
Yeah,
Talk it up, I reckon.
We
They've gone it. Over to Melbourne. They've had a great win. Talk it up. Why wouldn't you?
You know the other thing I loved? I loved Jack Watts' game.
It was terrific after the summer he'd had, too.
And the interview after the
with Cam
game.
Mooney.
Well, that was... absolute gold.
It was, actually. It was moved to tears, Watts, because he's obviously had his off-field issues and he's not only answered it with a great game but against his old team. And he was very emotional out in the field. That I think we forget sometimes what it means to these players. And great effort. Geez, their kids were good too. Rosie, Butters, Dersma.
Butters.
Yeah.
Butters, of all the kids over the weekend, we know Sam Walsh is going to be, you know, he's the Rolls Royce out of all those kids, but Butters is the one with genuine X factor who looks really, really exciting,
yep.
I reckon.
So, lots to like about Port Adelaide. 10 of the last 11 Hawthorns won. I know you posed the point before, why didn't we pick them? But I just thought going over there, Adelaide Oval, I still think they'll be hard to beat there this year. It just seemed to me there was no plan B, and I just still worry about the lack of leadership on field apart from Rory Sloane.
I worry about the lack of pace.
Yeah, they are slow. They did look slow.
So I look at their midfield. Sloane, not quick. B Crouch, not quick. M Crouch, not quick. And then I look at their forward line where everyone's playing quick, you know, little blokes. Taylor Walker looks slow now. Doesn't crash packs.
No, and...
Josh Jenkins looks slow. Doesn't crash packs. Tommy Lynch, I love Tommy Lynch as a player, but he's that lead-up player, isn't he? He's the link man between attack and defence. So you're not expecting him to crash packs. I reckon Eddie Betts has lost a yard. I reckon Richie Douglas is getting old.
Well, Richie Douglas is injured too. We're not sure what the height of that is.
So that's an ankle?
Yeah, it is an ankle.
Where is the zip?
Well, you know the other thing, here's a point, not that I was a great power forward in my day, Duff, but it doesn't always come lace out on the lead.
Oh,
if it's not coming lace out in the lead, Taylor,
well, and I don't know about it.
There's a plan B, or that's just not the way footy is played these days.
Give a contest. Get the ball on the ground. Jarman Impey outmarked Josh Jenkins twice.
He did too.
On Saturday. And the other side of this was Hawthorn, magnificently coached again by Alistair Clarkson, as always. You've mentioned Sicily. He's a wonderful player.
Well, Warple was, I think he got the 10 votes, Warple, at the weekend from the coaches.
Yeah, he'd want to have been good to be better than Sicily, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it was a good effort. Impey, as you mentioned, and there were a few others, forward line gelled. You know, lots to like about that. I think we forget pretty quickly, he got them into the fourth spot last year, Clarkson. They weren't the top four teams. So these sorts of results will continue. The worry with Hawthorn is the midfield still missing Tom Mitchell. Magnificent performance at the weekend, but it will catch up with them at some point, I think. And that's when they'll come back to the pack a little bit.
Well, I'll tell you what, if it doesn't, I reckon Sam Mitchell can write his own ticket for a coaching job next year. Because with what he did with West Coast midfield last year and what we saw at the weekend with the Hawthorn midfield having a big victory over Adelaide, I think. You know, the other guy that's underrated as a player quarters is Ben McAvoy.
Yeah, he was probably in their best three at the weekend, I reckon. Interesting, when he left St Kilda originally, the critique on him, I can't jump. He can't. You watch him, he can't jump. Well, I think he's had a fair career since he left St Kilda, quite frankly. I mean, no, he hasn't got the athleticism of Nick Natanui, but I'll tell you what, he makes up for it round the ground and in his contest. So, yeah, he's been terrific and was, again, one of the reasons they won at the weekend.
Sour note. Racist trolling on the on social media of Liam Ryan. Liam Ryan didn't have a great night on the weekend. He had, you know, a few nice touches early and then got frustrated and got tired, clearly, in the humidity up at Brisbane. He had an incident late in the game where Darcy Gardner put a little knee into his back after Ryan had outmarked him, and Liam should have got up and taken the 50 and kicked a goal. Got up and reacted.
Sometimes it's hard, though, when you cop a knee like that in the back.
Yeah, it was a real cheap shot.
You know what I mean, though? Sometimes I think we should cut him a bit of slack. And, I mean, I don't reckon I would have been able to just move on from that quickly.
Boy, you've got a fiery temper.
Oh, no.
If it wasn't for your small hands, mate.
They're small, but they're quick.
You know, these people on social, it's...
Well, they're just idiots. And look, there's a school of thought, do we give them oxygen? I think we do need to call them out. I think we do need to name and shame them.
Name and shame is good.
As we did in the West today, photo on the front page, fantastic. Yeah. Because these people need to be shamed for the pigs that they are.
Yeah.
And it does come back to education. Where does that start? Well, yeah, my theory, Duff, is that education starts in year one, and that is when Indigenous studies should be on the curriculum at all schools.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's a massive oversight on the part of our governments and our education system.
This isn't across the board thing. This is just not AFL players on AFL fans on a website. This is right through our community, and we need to address it at every single level.
And there also is a degree of responsibility for these social media platforms as well. The handle that one of these guys had, it just screams racist idiot.
Yep.
You know, what he calls himself. And really, that guy should not be allowed to have an account. They should find out who he is, and they should ban him from having an account, and they should refer to the other social media platforms and say, this guy called himself this, he should not have an account with you either.
So hopefully the more it's called out, the more these people are humiliated, as they should be, the less the frequency. And, you know, I think we saw the Taylor Harris stuff a week ago where there was an avalanche going the other way on social media. It worked really well. It was sort of a self... policing thing, but hopefully this has been another kick in the head for those pigs out there that you just can't get away with it anymore.
Yeah, hopefully. Unfortunately, there's a few more of them out there than we would like.
Oh, yeah, you know, but let's just name and shame them whenever we can.
All right. We've been brought to you by Tab Touch this morning. We'll be back on Thursday to go through round two. And, of course, it kicks off on Thursday night with the blockbuster at the MCG, Collingwood versus Richmond, the replay of the preliminary final from last year. Quarters, thank you very much for joining us this morning, and we'll talk to you all again on Thursday.
This has been the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch.